flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Charlie Goldsmith joining the program now. Charlie covers the Bengals and the Reds in Cincinnati. Charlie, been a pretty busy couple of weeks for you dealing with these Bengals. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, it's been almost a more relevant radio row week for the future of the Bengals this past week with all the comments Burrow and Hendrickson were making than it was when the Bengals were in the Super Bowl a few years ago.
Let's start with the Bengals' end of season. I was listening to Joe Burrow on Pardon My Take this morning, and he seemed to have he was kind of making fun of it now. They started so bad. They get red hot late in the year, but they missed the playoffs. What is the fan reaction, the player reaction? Sure seems like they scapegoated Anaromo, even though they won't pay anybody defensively. What is the vibe out there?
Well, let's start here. The offense was the best offense that Joe Burrow has ever been a part of. It was the best Burrow has ever played. It was the best Chase has ever played. The best Higgins has ever played. They had their best tackle duo. Chase Brown came out of nowhere and was a breakthrough, nearly 1,000-yard rusher. And despite all that, of course, as we all know, the Bengals didn't make the playoffs, and the defense was terrible. You say Anaromo was scapegoated, frankly. They invested, I believe, 9 day one or day two draft picks on that defense. And the young guys were getting worse year over year, and draft guys were whiffs or enrolled that the Bengals didn't expect them having, having pass rushers try to become run stoppers, even though they were supposed to be designated pass rush types. And the defense was a mess. Russell Wilson was thrown for 500 yards against them, and yeah, it got a little better down the stretch, but man, they played some terrible quarterbacks and some terrible offenses as they won their final 5 games. One was a win over Pittsburgh, but I don't know that Pittsburgh was really trying to win that game. So the defense has had to completely start over. The defense is having to completely rebuild itself. And how do you rebuild a defense while you also have the priority of keeping T. Higgins? Are you trying to go young on defense? What does that mean for Trey Hendrickson? The defense and the way the defense kind of showed what it was this season has kind of become the pivot point for all that.
That's interesting. I didn't realize kind of the lack of player development there. So what does happen next? Because I find it hard to focus on Higgins when they still have the Ja'Marr Chase thing lingering. That, they've got less than a month till free agency opens. How do you think things shake out over the next, less than 4 weeks?
So if we were doing this conversation in November, I'd have a lot of confidence. And what I would have told you was that the Bengals were planning and preparing to lose T. Higgins. They were high on Andre Ochoa. They drafted Jermaine Burton. They were preparing to pay some of their young, emerging corners, Cam Taylor-Britton, Dax Hill. And, well, then what happened? Andre Ochoa took a huge step back. Jermaine Burton didn't show up on back-to-back days, and, that's not good. And Jermaine Burton is very much a persona non grata with kind of what happened behind the scenes down the stretch in Cincinnati. Cam Taylor-Britton got benched. Jermaine Burton didn't show for 2 straight days, their third-round pick out of Alabama, all the talent in the world. But everyone knew about character concerns coming out of the draft. They put him in, and I don't want to say he doesn't know the routes, but I mean, they're having him run deep every play, and I don't know that that's – and he doesn't even run his deep routes straight. So, you know, I don't want to pile on the kid, but Jermaine Burton will not be someone they're counting on entering 2025, even though he was kind of a wild card upside pick they took to replace Higgins. Their young corners, one got benched.
He just didn't go to practice for 2 days?
Yeah, it was a big story at the time. Well, one day he was 3 hours late, and then Saturday walkthrough, he's a no-show. For the game that Higgins was hurt, and it was supposed to be the game where, all right, you know, I was told, this is going to be the Jermaine Burton game. It was against the Raiders. They had all these packages prepared for him. And even after he was late on Friday, they're like, all right, we're going to give you another shot. You're still in the mix here for Sunday against the Raiders. This is going to be your big opportunity. And then he no-shows on Saturday. So, But all of this goes to show it's so hard to replace T. Higgins. They thought they had a plan, and all of it ties back together. And then the other thing that's changed, separate from all that, how the plan to replace T and move on failed, is T changed agents. And David Mulgeta and the Bengals have had a very contentious history, including Jesse Bates and including Higgins. And T changed agents, and who's his new agent? Jamar Chase's agent. So a conversation about T's contract may also be a conversation about Jamar's contract. Jamar has called this chess. Jamar's ready to reset the market. T's ready to get what he's earned after the Bengals, after he was the only player to play out last season on the franchise tag and contract extension talks went nowhere. I don't think that anyone can really tell you right now whether or not the Bengals are going to keep Higgins. I'm all in saying they should pay Higgins a competitive up there with what anyone's willing to offer him. I could talk for an hour about why Higgins deserves that from the Bengals specifically, even though they should they will also pay Jamar. We'll see what happens here. I can tell you no decision's been made. There are a lot of moving pieces. The late agent change was a big part of this, but T is definitely the real deal, and the Bengals wouldn't be close to the same without him.
But moving forward, the defense, like you said, lose gone and whatever happened with that defense. Will they get them back together? Because if you look at this year, they couldn't stop anybody. And a lot of times they were down early and they had to come back, which can also inflate some of those passing numbers of Joe Burrow. So my question is, how did they get back to relevance on both sides of the ball?
So the Bengals, I can tell you who one starter on the 2025 Bengals defense will be, and that will be middle linebacker Jermaine Pratt, or outside linebacker Jermaine Pratt. All other 10 spots could change. You know, Hendrickson, I think they should trade Hendrickson, and we can talk about that if you want, but I think that would be the smart move. Defensive end Sam Hubbard, a longtime stalwart, isn't the same player anymore. They're going to cut Sheldon Rankins, who was their big splurge in free agency last year and was a total bust. Their cornerbacks kept getting benched for each other. It was kind of a rotating conga line of guys making mistakes, and then safety's kind of a blank slate as well. So what they did is they brought in Al Golden from Notre Dame, and Golden's whole thing is player development. Specifically, like what the Fighting Irish did, so many homegrown players. And if you watch Notre Dame this year, you saw a smart, complex, communicative scheme where players really were showing significant improvements. Like they had a young freshman corner, a freshman All-American, a guy who was a three-star who they had to throw into a fire during an injury, throw to the fire due to an injury to Benjamin Morrison, kind of their star. And he was just as good, if not better. So Golden did a very, very good job at that at Notre Dame. That was what Zach Taylor hired him to do. Whether or not he can do the same at the NFL level, that remains to be seen. But they hired Al Golden specifically, the line is, because of what he can do with young players. Young players were getting worse under Lou Anarumo, so they went to the college route just like the Ravens did, the Packers did, the Chargers did, to try to find someone with who can win with a roster that's going to have a bunch of draft picks and lower paid players on their defense because of what they're paying their offense.
Dude, this sounds like such a zoo, man. Let's start with Chase. So we're talking with our buddy Charlie Goldsmith, covers the Bengals and the Reds out in Cincinnati. You didn't get a deal done with him last year when the market was very clearly set by Jefferson, and he kind of said he only needed a little bit
more than
Jet, right? You don't get it done then. Do you think Chase is going to get done? And is it possible Chase becomes available?
I feel very confident Chase is going to be a Bengal. They'll get this done. Now, will it get done right before the season started like it did with Joe Burrow a couple of years ago?
Hold on. Here's my question. Is Chase under contract? Or does that, is he a free agent March 13th?
Chase is on the fifth-year option. And then they can tag him, and then they can tag him again.
Okay.
It won't get there. Okay. I think a deal will get done in September would be my project. Who knows? Maybe it gets done in June like Justin Jefferson did.
Sure.
But the Bengals have a very long track record of using the deadline and going up and all the way up until the deadline for their biggest contracts. But now would it help the Bengals to open up cap space and know exactly where you're at to get this deal done before free agency? Heck yes, but that's been the biggest problem with this front office is they haven't been proactive at all with any of these contracts, and there's been some real opportunity cost because of that. So, yes, Ja'Marr Chase I don't think will ever hit the market and will not be available. But this deal might not get done for a bit, so that could create some at least short-term hurdles.
What if he decides, okay, you didn't sign me, I'm going to take a one-year deal. Then the next time you tag him again, that thing jumps up, way up. You take another one-year deal, then he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what they've done.
They're kind of pissing him off at this point. He's that good, and they haven't said, okay, we want you for the long haul.
And that's the problem. The problem is that the Bengals seem to have always been chasing the best deal, and in the process, they've frustrated T. Higgins, D.J. Reader, Joe Mixon, Jonah Williams, Jesse Bates. There are three or four, you know, you look at A.J. Green in the past, you look at Kevin Zeitler in the past, like, this has been the problem of the Bengals front office. If you want to call it the need to win every negotiation, I like what I said earlier, the lack of proactivity. I mean, why did the Bengals start 0-2 or 0-3 last season? A lot of reasons. A huge one was the fact that they didn't get the deal done with Chase. So Chase skipped all of training camp, was a non-participant. Then he comes back for a couple walkthroughs. Then he, on Monday, after everyone thinks he's back, he makes, frankly, Zach Taylor look bad by not showing up to practice again for the Monday before, you know, heading into the game week. And his decision, quote unquote, whether or not he'd play week one, went up apparently until the wire, and he played, but he wasn't Ja'Marr Chase in week one. He wasn't Ja'Marr Chase in week two. Like, all this had a real impact on this cloud over the Bengals that had a slow start last year, that have a slow start every year. You don't want that hanging over you again. That's why they need to be more proactive. It's time for them to change to do that, but that hasn't been the case so far to this point.
So, all right. So you think Chase sticks around. Higgins was on a tag, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Will they tag him again and have to pay the 20% upcharge?
I think they have
to. What does that jump to, 26 mil?
Yeah, the tag's $26 million, and frankly, I think he got more than that on the open market. So I think the Bengals have two choices. I think their choices are to tag and trade him immediately or tag and immediately work out an extension. Things have gotten too sour for the Bengals to risk or have the optics of T playing out another year on the franchise tag. Like, T has been a model citizen, an elite culture guy, the type of guy you want to reward. And to put him through the tag process again, having the potential of him playing on that, would create a precedent in the locker room that would probably upset a lot of guys in there to send a signal that, you know, even if you're a perfect quote-unquote guy like T, they're not going to take care of you. I think playing out the year on the tag would be a very poor decision. And that's the sense I get of how they see things too. So what I see happening is, either a tag and trade or a tag and an aggressive extension offer by the Bengals. And again, what remains to be seen is whether or not they're willing to go that far in giving T that aggressive extension. I think they should. I think it would be a mistake not to. Do they want to get more veterans on the defense? I don't think that would be the move, but that would be the opportunity that would open up if they didn't pay T. And again, like, you've seen reports, you've seen national reports. Nothing's gotten out so far about where the Bengals are really going to go here. And the thing I'll stress, too, to circle it back to the beginning, was the plan was to let T walk, but now they have no one else to pay because the guys up for extensions didn't pan out, and their plans in-house to replace T haven't panned out at all. So, and then T was their third best player last year, or maybe their fourth, but I think it was pretty close with Hendrickson. So, you know, that kind of leads us to the point everyone's at now.
Dude, so I hear you, and I wanted to have you on because I appreciate your coverage, right? I hear what you're saying about you got to get T done because he's been really good for you, and if you don't get him done, the whole locker room's going to be pissed. But But isn't the locker room already pissed about the Chase situation?
Like, yeah.
I understand the what should happen, but the Bengals sure seem to operate in a different manner.
And that's what has Joe Burrow on Radio Row talking about explaining how the salary cap works to the Pardon My Take guys.
Yeah, like, I was listening to that.
And that's the thing, too. Like, the Bengals have done the hard part, which is the player evaluation and the drafting of the stars, and they found the stars. And then the same thing happened in the early 2010s. The Bengals had, I mean, no offense, guys, the team that got Jay Gruden his head coaching job was this early 20. I know that didn't work out in Washington.
No, but
offense. This early 2010s juggernaut team that they failed to sustain and build, and then everything immediately got away from them. Now they didn't have Joe Burrow, and I don't think that'll happen to that extent this time because they have Joe Burrow, and they're going to keep Ja'Marr Chase, and that's an incredible dynamic duo. But the Bengals, the same thing happened in 2005. They had Carson Palmer and Chad Ochocinco in this great defense, and then, you know, 5 years in, they run into this wall. They don't retain, extend, build around the core once they're paying their stars, and the wheels fall out and they're tanking again. Like, the Bengals haven't shown the ability to sustain success for more than 4 years at a time. And I know you can say that about a lot of teams. It's been especially true for all these reasons with the Bengals.
That's wild, man. Yeah. I mean, that team, 3 years removed from a Super Bowl now?
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different team now.
So you say this year is Chase's fifth year?
Yeah.
Yes.
So they will play on a fifth-year option if they were to tag Higgins.
So they get 5 years. So Chase on five. You can still get two more years of Chase probably at your advantage because that dude would get complete top of market.
If you don't give him a deal this year, you tag Higgins, they're going to have problems.
I think they have them.
And they have them now, but they're going to get worse.
It's all bubbling, and I think that's what makes this year
it's
such
about
a
the erupt,
point.
It's, like Mount Kilauea.
What do you want to be, and what are you going to do, and are you willing to change and be something different than you've ever been because you have capital J Joe Burrow? That's, you know, the existential question that is debated at bars in Cincinnati every night, and what they should do, again, like I'm saying, is keep Higgins, that actually trade Hendrickson and try to reset that young defense. But it's kind of decision time for what Bengals ownership wants to be.
They seem cheap, right?
That's the word. And
like, bro, listen, I was in the reporter abyss for a long time. I know what it's like to cover a terrible organization. I feel bad for you, but I can see this thing from, whatever, 500 miles east of you, buddy.
They do spend money. Like, I've seen the numbers. Like, they spend money at about an average rate, but I wouldn't use the word cheap. I would use the word, not picky, but like they, you know, the guy who goes to the market and has to get their deal, like, it's very much their way in how they manage the cap. And they haven't been willing to do restructures and move money around and do things that winning teams do to take advantage of windows. So
because they're cheap,
I would call that bad cap management. I think those are different things because cheap is just money. Bad cap management is how you use money and when you're willing to push your chips in. So like they are spending, but they're by far not getting the most out of their money. And that's something different in my opinion. Like there are cheaper organizations than the Bengals. But, yes, the way they use their money is what creates their long-term problems.
Fair enough.
But those teams don't have Joe Burrow.
Right.
They're messing up a guy in his prime by not taking
care of their business. Man. They're just going to waste it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Charlie, I know Cincinnati's a great sports town. When we were out there for that Monday nighter, I think it was the Reds season finale, and that place was packed. We really enjoyed it. Give me a 30-second Reds preview.
The Reds have Ellie De La Cruz and Hunter Green, and I think Matt McClain can be an all-star, and Nick Lodolo can be an all-star if he stays healthy, and they just underperformed last season. The idea is, can Terry Francona, a Hall of Fame manager, change the tone, create kind of a different way of doing things, and really develop those guys into the best versions of themselves as players? So kind of the story of the year is, what impact can a manager make on a team with upside and potential, like, real stars, that just has to figure out how to figure out how to act like a playoff team.
Charlie, you file this away, dude. The Reds were B. Mitch's favorite baseball team as a kid, so you keep that in your back pocket.
I'm not going to date you, but whether or not it was the Big Red Machine or the 90s Reds, I mean, those are two incredible. I mean, they created a lot of
fans. It was before the
90s.
It was Pete Rose.
Pete Rose, there you go.
Charlie, thank you for your
appreciate
time,
Charlie.
Man. What's the steakhouse? Jack Ruby's?
Jeff Ruby's.
Man, Jeff Ruby's out of this world. Go get the Burrow style
Jack
ribeye.
Be his brother.
Jack Ruby, I think he got it. Killed Kennedy.
I think that's right.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate you, buddy. Charlie Goldsmith, give him a follow at @CharlieG_.
They got problems up there.
Yo, you can just sense it. You can feel it in that conversation. And, like, I know what he's saying in that they do spend money, but when you look at
they
what.
They have to spend it.
Yeah, there's a salary floor. Yeah. But when you look at what these aggressive organizations do, you look at what Philly's doing, what the Rams have done, teams that break through, there's a way to it. There's a method to the madness, man. And I don't think since he's
they
doing
don't
it.
Know it.
And I think you're going to mess around and lose Burrow because of it.
Yep.
Nobody go anywhere. Phone lines open at 1 o'clock.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Man, we just talked to Charlie Goldsmith, covers the Bengals and the Reds.
That doesn't look good for them.
If you missed any of that, Doug, it sounds like a mess, right?
It is.
What is it like in the locker room? I mean, I've covered some situations that have gone sideways, and I can feel it, but I'm in the locker room an hour a day. Mm-hmm. The locker room exists from breakfast till dinner.
And they have discussions about all that crap.
All the time.
You think those players aren't talking about how they treated Chase, how Higgins looked? Guys are probably thinking, as soon as I get a chance, I'm out of here.
Totally.
That's the mindset. And when you have one foot out the door, it's kind of hard to live up to your expectation.
Kind of hard to give it everything.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think... I don't know, man. That thing just seems so broken. The best I can compare what Cincy seems to be going through, and I'm not saying the players are comparable, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you have long, drawn-out, continued contract drama between the organization and an important player,
mm-hmm.
it impacts everybody. I think of Kirk. I mean, because that thing went on 3 years.
Yeah.
And then I think of Trent. Like,
yeah, the Kirk thing, I think the Trent thing impacted the team more than Kirk.
Well, Kirk kept playing. Trent stopped playing.
As much as Kirk, they were treating him bad, he didn't want to be here anyway.
Right.
So both of them were playing games, but the thing with Trent, that was crazy. Now, right now, you're basically messing with Ja'Marr Chase, probably the best receiver in the league. And T. Higgins, a super receiver also. Both of them, you're playing games with them. You have a quarterback there that's not going to be able to function without those two guys. Joe could throw the ball to anybody out there, but would you rather throw it to Chase and Higgins or the other two that he said not living up to their hype? You know? So that team doesn't really care. They haven't paid people for a long time either.
Well, it's like,
this is not new with them.
I remember Gruden telling me once with A.J. Green that the owner, is it Mike Brown, I think, is the owner, right?
Last name Brown, I know that.
He's like, man, I remember Gruden, there were rumors about A.J. Green being traded, and Jay was like, they're never trading that guy. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, Mike Brown loves him. And it seems like the owner out there picks a couple dudes he loves, and they're not going anywhere. And they pay them, and then
– but.
Everybody else kind of comes and goes, dude.
Why didn't pay Chase last year if they pay the people that they love? You don't love Chase?
I don't know. I don't know at all. But I'm just saying, like, to not get the Chase deal done was so emblematic of larger problems. I mean, that dude was an absolute monster this year.
Yeah. And if you make him play out that fifth year, that locker room going to be like, oh, hell no. When I come up, they're going to do me worse. If they're doing it to him, they'll do me worse.
They'll definitely do
and
you worse.
And, like, the young players aren't getting better, so you're going to get rid of everybody off the team and get fire the coach, get rid of everybody, then bring in a whole new thing? That's supposed to work for you?
I don't know. It just seems – that seems like it's on shaky, shaky ground. So, now you got this dude, Jermaine Pratt, wanting to get traded –
And he said that's the only guy that's coming back on the defense.
Right. That's
the guy that don't want to be there.
Right. I don't know. Seems like big, big trouble going on there. It's interesting when you talk about it because, like, the Bengals offense is so good. But then you look at that AFC North. Ravens are obviously loaded, going to make another run at a Super Bowl next year. Well, the Ravens just about breaking through in the playoffs. I mean, how many more good regular seasons
they live in
can
the
they have? But you know what? At the same time with the Ravens, they're inconsistent. They lose to bad teams. You go back and look at their records. Like,
Yeah.
And it's, if you want to be dismissive of it, like, oh man, they just didn't get up for week six against the Raiders. That's fine. But it impacts everything. It impacts seeding. You know, what if they didn't have to go on the road to Buffalo and they got to play in Baltimore? Like,
could be a difference.
All those things matter. Yep. But you got Steelers. I think the Browns are completely cooked, but there is a lot of talent there. I don't know what the Bengals become, man.
They just saw this year with a fantastic offense, been throwing the ball around the yard all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win games. They should know that by now. So they got to get their defense better. Or they got to find a running game.
So Lanville sent us this thing about, like, tiers of teams, not necessarily, like, somewhere between rebuilding and building, tiers of teams trying to chase a title, right? Mm-hmm. And tell me if you agree with this. And maybe I'm just being unfair. I don't know the right term here. Of the still title contenders, it's Chiefs and Eagles.
Okay.
Then you've got on the cusp of Ravens, Bills, Lions. And then the next tier is need a postseason breakthrough. And that's Packers and Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell are the Ravens and the Bills not in the need a postseason breakthrough category?
Because people
they desperately need to break through in the postseason.
Well, I think the fact that they go in and they win playoff game, people, the average person in the media look at that, oh, they're doing, no. They got to get to a championship game and win one. They got to get into the Super Bowl, man. You have top-notch players. Your quarterbacks are legitimate top fives. You got to get in the play. You got to get in the Super Bowl. Are they just happy with the fact that they go up and they are left with the thought that, well, we can't beat Pat.
Yeah,
I don't know.
If you're the Ravens, I mean, you lost in the divisional round this year. The year before, you lost in the conference title game at home. When you were the one seed, the year before that, you lost in the wild card. Now, granted, I think Lamar was hurt that year. That was the year. Who was the backup that tried to stretch the ball over the goal line and got punched away? The only thing that defines success for the Ravens or the Bills at this point, the Bills have what? Lost two of the last three AFC title games? Is postseason. I just, that to me is silly that they're not in the need of postseason breakthrough category. The Lions, I guess, but maybe you want to differentiate the Lions, Bills, Ravens are ahead of what the Packers and Vikings are. That's fine. But the next category, this is interesting, dude. So this is Jeremy Fowler writing this. He says, teetering contenders, Bengals, Steelers, Texans. And I guess that means they're teetering in that they could kind of fade out. But then Washington lands in this category of headed on the right track. And Washington's in a category with Denver, Chargers, Rams, Bucks, Seahawks, Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
That seem like the right part of town.
No, they just had 1 year of it, though. So
they definitely had the most regular season wins of anybody in that part of town.
Yeah, but you got to realize it's been 1 year, Jay. So
yeah.
You don't get the history of it. You get, okay, they hit on the right track, but I think they are a little bit ahead of other people. But you got to do it another year.
True, and I don't buy into strength of schedule a lot. I think too much gets made of that in a week-to-week league.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think you can look at the divisions you're going to play and the quarterbacks you're going to play. And Washington's schedule from 24 to 25 is going to be a step up in competition. Just facing the AFC West and the NFC North.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to play the Vikings and the Packers and the Chiefs and the Chargers. You know what I mean? Like, now the whole NFC East is, so it all evens out. But I do think that could have perhaps more of an impact than what they had this past season. I just would still have the Commanders ahead of a lot of those teams. Maybe that's just me. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we're going to open these phone lines up. It is a Bleep You Thursday. Whatever's gone wrong this week, whoever has wronged you. I noticed someone in my neighborhood had a tree fall on what looked like their house. That's a bleep you situation. Yeah,
bleep you
man.
To the tree?
Bleep you to the tree for sure. Phone lines at 1 o'clock. Shout out to Stevie breaking it down right there. Shout out to the Rooster for reasons unknown to all of mankind, choosing to do what looks like a television interview in the direct middle of the hallway. There's if there's anything this office
if he did it in his studio, y'all wouldn't know that he had a TV hit. Come on, man.
If there's anything this
to his madness
oversized glut of an office space has is empty rooms.
30,000 square feet, and he decided to put it in the middle of all the traffic.
I think B-Mitch nailed it, though. If he did it in the studio, none of us would have noticed. And we wouldn't be talking about him right now, which is what he really wants.
He wants us to discuss him.
That's a good point. It's a good point. Shout out to the Rooster. I hope everybody's watching his TV hit. live in Cleveland, I think. B, question for you. There's so much talk about Myles Garrett. We did just have Charlie Goldsmith on from Cincinnati, covers the Reds and the Bengals. He said he thinks they're going to trade away Trey Hendrickson. Hendrickson is not Garrett, but he's been very good.
He's been good, yeah.
He's been quite good. Now, he's older. They're about the same age. I guess he'll be 31. Garrett, I think, just turned 29. He's been durable. I mean, he had 17 and a half sacks each of the last 2 years. That's more than Garrett. Now, Garrett's on a terrible team. Hendrickson, with the way the Bengals are built, he gets more pass-rushing opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to a Hendrickson trade, if that's a real thing?
It'll be less expensive, I think.
It's not going to be two ones.
No. So, listen, man.
What if it's Hendrickson for 29?
I understand we want. We want Garrett. You may want whoever. You got to improve it no matter what. Hendrickson is a re-improvement.
Yeah.
So the whole thing.
Last year of his deal, no guaranteed money, so you probably got to get a contract done.
Improve the defense, man. Because you watched the games last year, bro. They need to be improved, point blank.
Yeah, I don't know. I find it interesting. I'm not against it. I think you pay more for Garrett, but Hendricks has been really, really good. You know what else is really, really good? B and I are still curious if we could win this thing. You could definitely win, though, an ultimate tournament trip to Las Vegas just by listening to 106.7 The Fan.
Yes.
Win a trip for you and three friends during the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. Flights, hotel, and $20,000
put in spending money. Baby.
That is serious cash. Just download the free Odyssey app, listen to The Fan for at least an hour. Listen tomorrow for at least an hour for another entry. It's
every time you listen for an hour, you get an entry?
What's that?
Every time you listen for an hour, you get an entry.
That's my understanding.
Okay, good. I'm listening to it for 4 hours every day.
If you need more information, go to odyssey.com/slam dunk. It's Odyssey's Slam Dunk in Vegas national contest. Lenville, is that how it works? You listen for an hour, you're bang, you're in, right?
I believe so.
None of us are lawyers.
We should get four a day.
Yeah, do we get four a day?
I feel like we should.
Hey, can we transfer them like the points to landfill? And then maybe we transfer them to somebody and they win?
Oh, that's a good idea. Unfortunately, we're not eligible.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. We would transfer them to somebody else.
I have a serious question.
We could transfer them to Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Declan. If you have to listen.
If you work here.
I don't think you're allowed to.
You're not allowed to
acquire
what we said at the gym.
Or transfer. Well, that was my question. How many entries do you think Jeff's gotten in the last couple days?
He ain't listening. Because if he was listening, he would say something to us by now.
White Brian, what would you do in Vegas with $20,000 in your pocket? Sleep?
Bet it all on mid-major college basketball.
That's my guy.
You know what? You're never going to Vegas.
I bet he's been to Vegas. You've been to Vegas,
going.
Brian?
I have not.
And he's never going because his wife's going to probably, somebody's going to tell her what he said. She's never letting him go to Vegas.
You got to at least be like, oh.
He's going to spend all the damn money.
Get some,
on mid-major college.
Jewelry.
Some obscure one nobody ever heard of.
I'd get a seafood tower.
Like just one
with
giant $20,000? One?
At least that. And then we'd bet it all on a roulette spin.
You'd put 20 G's on one spin?
Of course.
I'm going to put some money on a roulette spin.
Give Wendy that mic and ask her what she'd do with 20 G's in Vegas.
If I won 20?
If they gave you 20 grand to go to Vegas, like on this trip y'all giving out.
The Odyssey slam dunk.
I'm not gambling it. I'm just going to leave.
You going to just leave Vegas?
Are
you
shopping.
Shopping?
Yep.
Landfill's going to get a seafood tower.
That sounds good.
At $20,000 seafood tower, you're going to have a whole damn whale on that.
White Brian's only going to gamble it on mid-major college basketball.
Okay. Don't know what that means, but great.
Do you know if Brian and I are eligible to win the Odyssey Slam Dunk Contest?
Oh, you are not.
What about Jeff? Because he hasn't been in.
No, he is not.
He doesn't work here.
We're not sure. I mean, kind
of. You are an employee of Odyssey, so no, you cannot. And no one in your immediate family can either.
Okay, then.
Right,
so
but what about Jeff?
I listened to the show 4 hours a day, so I get four choices. Can I send it to somebody that's not in my immediate family, and they get the chance?
Yeah, you can send it to whoever you want.
Odyssey points. We just want to front load one person and give them a better chance. Is that how
I don't think that's possible, no.
I mean, you're in charge. You're the promotion
manager.
Well,
that's a corporate contest, so I have nothing to do with that.
Whenever we have a winner, I need to meet these winners.
Whoever wins, tell them me and B. Mitchell go to Vegas with them.
Yeah, and we'll take a picture with them, too.
It's a corporate contest, so I don't pull the winner.
Place?
I have nothing to do with it.
They can only be from here or from other places.
If it's a corporate contest, guaranteed the winners from Boston or Dallas.
Or Philadelphia.
Philly, sure. New York,
well,
WFAN.
I want to just know that they really exist. WFAN. And Odyssey gave them that $20,000. Then I'm going to know how to.
I'm pretty sure the winner exists.
I'm going to know how to progress. But let's see, so I can talk to them.
So when it ends, I will definitely make sure.
I need to have a conversation with them. I'm trying to get every little thing I can do for the next time.
All right, phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It's time to come together as a people. It's time for Bleep You Thursday.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.